Let the band play.
Baby, lately I've been going crazy lately. Yeah, I've been getting paper. Made a whole end without a motherfucking major label. Yeah, they like clock, you major. I just set a new set of poles on a new set.
Alrighty, welcome back to the Future of NFT Podcast, the most efficient and realist podcast in the NFT world. I'm your host, Jared. Today, let's just see what is going on in the NFT world. If you're new here, I want to give you a very warm welcome. I highly suggest, if you're new to NFTs, Web3, blockchain, I'd highly suggest you start at episode 1, where I explain NFTs to my mom. Work your way all the way through the catalog. I'm confident either I or one of the guests we've had on will teach you something 100%. If you're not new here, welcome back, baby. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and get straight into it. So just a few things that I've been focused on, I guess you could say, that have crossed my radar. So this is just, I'll have a point to prove after this article. So article reads, new blockchain handheld announced, new blockchain handheld announced will likely cost $500. And so this is the sub caption, I guess. It says, yeah, apparently people are still trying to make NFT and Bitcoin related products. So here we go. Ords Games has revealed a new retro-inspired handheld gaming console that will allegedly let players earn bitcoins while playing games that are connected to the larger blockchain network. So I'm reading this article. This looks like a little Game Boy, right? So if you're into gaming, they used to have these little Game Boys. It's like a little square. You could just flip open the screen and it's just like two squares, right? And the buttons are really small. I think there's only like an A and B or something like that. Like, it's very minimal, right? It's not like even like a DS or like a PSP. So it's just like a very simple handheld device. So it says, the console isn't out yet, but will likely cost around $500, according to the company behind the device. Sure, in 2024, the new hot thing among most large tech companies and Silicon Valley investors is AI. But there are still some folks out there dedicated to NFTs, cryptocurrency, and the blockchain. Again, I'm reading this article. It says, despite the roller coaster stability of all this crap, Bitcoin prices dropped 5,000 last week. There still seems to be a market for this stuff. So say hello to the BitBoy 1. Revealed on April 5th, the BitBoy 1 is an upcoming handheld gaming console that is designed to also be a crypto wallet. It will also be able to play classic games, assuming you provide the ROMs, and will let you earn Bitcoin and cryptocurrency by playing specific blockchain play-to-earn games. If the device looks very familiar, that's because it seems to be heavily based on similar retro devices like the Miyo Mini and Abneric RG35XX. In fact, the BitBoy 1 shares a lot of the same internal specs as those popular mini retro handhelds. However, those devices cost between $60 to $100. Meanwhile, Ords Games tells GameBeats that the BitBoy 1 will likely cost around $500. So, I'm reading that article because, for one, isn't it just funny? Like, you think that you're just reading a regular article, right? And, oh, this guy's just reporting on this new Bitcoin gaming device or whatever it may be, right? And I feel like I always see this. So it's interesting to me that specific news outlets or whatever, like, it's like they just literally pick and choose when they want to talk shit or not talk shit about crypto. I'm telling you, when crypto is on the rise and Bitcoin's has a new all-time high, right? Everyone's fucking pro Bitcoin, pro crypto. It's awesome, right? It's going to be the future, right? As soon as I'm telling you that all-time high drops, as soon as it drops from the all-time high, there you go. Headline, shitting on it. Once sought after Bitcoin was digital gold. Now it's just fucking shit, right? Like, like, that's just how it always is. Anyway, so I thought that was just funny. I'm just casually reading this article, and then homeboy is just throwing shots, like just low-key shots about it. He's like, if people are still buying that crap, right? So anyway, I just thought that shit was funny. So one other thing I wanted to bring up, I thought this is just fucking hilarious. Like, this is just hilarious because And I meant to, that's what also sucks. And I know it'll happen on this episode for sure. There's so much shit that I plan to talk about. And then after I'm done recording, I'm like, fuck, I completely forgot to talk about that. So this is one of the ones that I wanted to talk about. I just thought this shit was hilarious. So right now, 20 year olds and under-ish, or not even under, I guess people in the buying a house range, right? And that can range from whatever. Maybe you're a 16 year old with a bag, or an 18 year old with a bag on you and you can go afford a house, or you're 25 and you can get a house, or 30, 35, 40, right? People buy their houses at whatever time in their life, whenever they're ready, right? But for me personally, here in Texas, here in Austin, Texas, I'm 24 years old. I do not have a house yet. But for the past years, in which I obviously want to be a property owner, I think I haven't even talked about real estate in a while, but real estate is definitely something that is always on the forefront of my mind. Real estate, real estate, real estate. Again, owning, having tenants, right? Having a just little real estate portfolio. I'm making it sound just easy. Oh, just build up a real estate portfolio. But I think it's achievable for sure, right? But that's always something that I think about, is just real estate all the time. I got my real estate license when I was like 18 or 19. I've talked about that before. But anyway, so I've been knowing that I want a house, right? I know I want a house. I know I want to put a down payment on a house or whatever, and get a property going under my belt and keep it going and keep it going. But at this point, again, I'm here in Austin, Texas. And if you're in California right now, you're probably like, yeah, buddy, you think that's high. Come over here. Because I think in California right now, I think $5 million might get you a nice spot under the bridge, right? that's just how, fuck, dude, that's just California prices, right? Like $1 million is like, that is fucking nothing in California. You come down to Austin, Texas, in the past 5 to 10 years, the prices have fucking gone crazy. So right now, an average house in Austin, I'd say is about $400,000 to $500,000. That's about like a, and that's not like a, that's like a kind of like, that's like the bare minimum house. That's like a kind of like a crappy house, maybe, or not a, not like a super nice house. That's probably like one on the market that they just fucking need to sell. Anyway, so so the prices are around like $500,000 to $600,000 here in Austin, which at this point, again, is it's not cheap, but it's fucking cheap compared to what it's going to be, right? Me personally, I think Austin is the next tech hub, right? Like the next California, right? But obviously Austin is better, but but it's just interesting. So trying to get a property is just, it's something that's, it's always been on my mind. And older 40 to 50 year olds, I'm going on such a tangent, but please follow me here. So 40 to 50 year olds, right? 40, 50, 60 year olds, they always say, go get a house, go get a house. They always tell me, my girlfriend, go get a house, or me and my cousins, or right, people around our age, right? I always just hear it. People in their 20s always hear this from people that are 40 to 50, 60 years old, right? Their parents or whatever. You need to go get a house. You need to go get a house. Except when they bought a house, right? When our parents bought houses, the 40 to 50 to 60, 70, 80 year olds, when they were buying houses, houses were fucking dirt cheap. Dirt fucking cheap. Dirt fucking cheap, right? So it's, and their assets, right? When they bought their houses at the time, they were definitely at like around $100,000, $150,000, because I've talked to them, I ask them, I'm just curious. And so now their houses are at like $400,000, right? $500,000, right? So that's huge appreciation on a property. But anyway, I said all this bullshit just to read this tweet right here. Crypto is the only asset class where we're not exit liquidity at the top of a 100-year bubble. I'm not buying boomers' assets anymore. Time for them to buy our assets, right? So he's talking about like Bitcoin, Ethereum, fucking whatever it is in the crypto space. But I just thought that was hilarious, because at this point in time, it's literally the same shit. It's literally the same shit. Obviously, it's a little bit different, but it's in my mind, it's kind of like the same shit, right? The assets, right? Quote, assets, Ethereum, Bitcoin, that shit, even though, again, it's not a house. It's not a house, not a piece of land that you can physically live in, right? But there's utility with Ethereum and Bitcoin. Whole other conversation. Either way, it's just funny because right now, again, Ethereum's at like, what, 3,700 last time I checked, 3,500, whatever. I don't even know what Bitcoin's at, to be honest. But it's cheap as fuck. It's literally like our parents buying houses back in the day for fucking 50 to 100 grand or whatever, right? And just holding on to them and that's it. And right, they obviously appreciate. And again, property is obviously different than Bitcoin and Ethereum. However, look at the graphs, right? Like look at the graphs of real estate, look at the graphs of cryptocurrency. Like it's just, again, it's an uptick. It's, the chart goes up, right? Maybe there's subtle little downs, right? And that happens with the housing market as well. Maybe there's certain little points where it goes down and then it comes back up, down. It's the same fucking shit. Same shit. So when I think about Ethereum and Bitcoin, like it's like, yeah, dude, this is the early point. This is the absolute early point. In the next 5 years, it's still going to be an early point. The prices are going to look obviously different. And none of this shit is financial advice, obviously. If you've been listening, you know. So I don't even say that shit because you should know. Do your research, do your homework. And yeah. So anyway, it's interesting that we look at Ethereum or we look at Bitcoin. And I think a big misconception for your normie on the street, right? When they think of Bitcoin or Ethereum, they think, a lot of times they think that you have to own an entire piece. Like you have to own an entire Bitcoin or else you can't. So if I go to Joe down the street, I'm like, hey, Joe, do you own any Bitcoin? He's like, how much are those? And I'm like, oh, Bitcoin right now is at 60,000. And he's like, oh, I can't afford that. And it's like, whoa, Joe, well, actually, you don't have to own an entire Bitcoin. You can, but it's not like, right, you can own a tenth or a half of the Bitcoin, right? And obviously still expensive, but it's more manageable, right? This is just something that I think about a lot. Like, it just really is so fucking early. And I know we said that. And I know I'm glad I said that 3 fucking years ago because it remains true that even at this point, 5 years from now, all this shit is, it's on discount. It's on sale, right? Again, the prices are going to be different, but it's still on sale. This is definitely what you consider a fire sale. When I think about Ethereum at 3,700, that is a fucking fire sale. Right. So then I go to this next tweet. And this is why I think it's a fire sale right now at 3,700. Justin, BlackRock, huge fucking financial institution. BlackRock launches digital asset fund and deposits 100 million USDC on the Ethereum network. So I see a bunch of shit like this. Like it's just, you see these big financial institutions, they know what's happening. They know what's going on, right? So it's frustrating because you still see these people with the headlines and these people. It's crazy. I see videos on Twitter and people still think, like they just still look at Bitcoin and Ethereum and just say that has no value, right? It just has no value. That's still the thought there. And it's like, I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, I mean, maybe for me, it's just so obvious because I'm obviously super into it. And so it's not something that I should sit here and wrangle my brain about, like trying to get a fuck Joe across the street to understand Bitcoin, like get it, just understand it, right? Like that's not, I'm not going to sit here and rack my brain about it or trying to make him understand or try to get him to see what I see, right? This is just what I see, right? Obviously based off of my experiences, based off of what I've seen online, culturally, again, that's so fucking important, so fucking important. Culturally, Bitcoin is cool. Bitcoin is fancy digital money, right? I mean, that's just what it is. A lot of people still think it's just complicated, and I totally understand. But it's just interesting to me when I see stuff like that. About again, BlackRock just going in there, balls out, saying "fuck it, we're gonna do this." So I still think. And I've said this since day one, you follow the fucking money. Where is the money going, right? From all these big companies, why are they investing in blockchain and digital asset funds, right? Digital asset, NFT. Why are they investing in this shit, right? And these people are not just hiring the fucking intern to go fucking they're not just hiring this fucking 22-year-old intern to run their digital asset $100 million program. Like, right, like, these people, there's people that are 40, 50, 60-year-old, they've been in the game. And again, you got to, that's the other thing, is like, there's two types of guys. There's a 60-year-old that just doesn't research any of this shit, right? He doesn't research any of it. He doesn't give a fuck. He just shits on it. But then you've got the other guy. The guy's been in finance for 20, 30 years, and he sees it, and he understands. He sees the trend or whatever. I'm telling you, these are the type of guys that you got to talk to. Not the fucking guys that don't know shit about finance or don't know whatever, right? Like, they're just not even in the realm of crypto or finance or any of this shit, but they have the biggest fucking opinion. So I talk about that because it's important. Like, you always have to, me personally, like, I always try to learn from the old heads, right? Like, the old, that's not a diss. That's not even a diss either. Like, an old head, 50, 40-year-old, 50, 60, 70-year-old, you're an old head. That's just what it is. And y'all have the wisdom. Y'all are fucking smart. Y'all have seen this shit before. So, again, a younger guy like me, like, all I can do is sit there and learn, right? So that's that's always just fucking fascinating to me. This is completely unrelated, but it's not really, because it's still just new, cool, innovating shit. So this is not NFT crypto related at all, but it's AI related, and I think it's just insane to me. Just insane shit. So here we go. So I'm talking about autopilot specifically for Tesla. So Elon Musk believes that when autopilot hits around 6 billion miles, and when I say autopilot, I'm talking about full self-driving mode. So that's where full self-driving is, where you just, boom, put the button on and you just sit back, sip your coffee, foot off the brake and gas, and you chill and you just enjoy the ride. Full self-driving, it takes you point A to point B. That's it. Like, it's full self-driving mode. So Elon Musk and Tesla have built, reached the 1 billion miles milestone for full self-driving. So people have drove over, at this point, 1 billion miles full self-driving mode. So Elon Musk thinks when we hit 6 billion miles, then the government or other auto manufacturers are going to look around and be like, okay, this is something that is safe. This is something that we can pass. And this is something that a lot more cars can start having full self-driving mode. Because the reality is, and which is interesting, because I talked to my stepdad about this, and I always like to give pushback. I always like to, it's not even a debate. It's just like, oh, like, hey, like, what do you think about this? And my stepdad, he's a fucking diesel mechanic. Dude knows his shit around cars. He knows everything cars, diesel trucks. Like, so anything car related, I always talk to him or go to him or get his opinion, because I know he's going to know. He has experience. So, but then to the same extent, a lot of the older guys, they're not fans of the electric shit, which I totally understand. Me personally, Jared, I'm not like the biggest fucking electric fan, electric car fan. But if I had one in my fleet, like, I wouldn't mind having a Cybertruck or a fucking Plaid, right, in my fleet, like, just to skirt off whenever the fuck I want. And actually, it's crazy. The Cybertruck, I just saw one today. Dude, I see the Cybertrucks fucking everywhere. Right here, off topic, but we're going to go into it. If you can afford a Cybertruck for your business, I think that right now at this point, and I think for the next years, it is the biggest and best form of advertisement. Like, nobody, like, you can have a Lamborghini parked right next to a Cybertruck. Nobody gives a fuck about the Lamborghini. The Lamborghini is like, oh, cool. The Cybertruck is just, like, fucking blows people away. I've seen it so many times. I literally saw one today. Like, I see them all the fucking time here in Austin. I always see them, and I'm just like, dude, those are just so sick. But anyway, all that to say, the older guys don't necessarily like the full self-drive, or they don't like the Teslas, and they don't like the electric shit, which, again, I understand. But I'm talking to my stepdad about this, and I'm telling him, like, no, dude, these are actually, like, the full self-driving mode. And if you think about it, like, at first it seems like no, but then, again, let's think about it. Full self-driving mode is 100% safer than me or you just driving our car on the road. Like, it's just what it is. Like, what if I'm driving down the road and fucking my foot gets itchy, right? Like, this never happens at all. Of course it never happens. I'm just making this stupid scenario up. Foot gets itchy, fucking your left shoulder starts hurting, fucking your kneecap starts, whatever it may be. and you got to go down and I got to scratch my foot because it's just fucking, right? The time that I'm fucking scratching my foot, like there's a chance that I could be swerving a tad bit, you know, like whatever, right? Let's say I fucking just pass out. Let's say I just have I don't want to say heart attack. That's way too extreme. I'm sorry. Let's just say I pass out or something, right? Like whatever. I pass out for whatever reason. That fucking Tesla in full self-driving mode. Okay, right now, if I pass out in my car, my Nissan Altima is not going to do shit. It's not going to know shit. The Nissan Altima is going to keep on driving and not give a fuck. If I had a Tesla with full self-driving mode and I passed out, that Tesla will take me to the nearest gas station, or it'll just take me to my destination and it'll just park there and that's it. And that immediately just alone is already just way more safe in my opinion. But that Tesla with the AI, again, getting better and better every single day, seeing more and more miles, learning more about the roads and different scenarios and shit. Like, I'm telling you, that thing is gigabrain. It's smart. It's learning right now. It's getting better right now. It's seeing more car scenarios, switch lanes, and what does it do in this scenario? What does it do here? And so I just think it is 100% safer. Like, I believe that 100%. I think if you have a 90-year-old grandma driving, first of all, let's talk about that real quick. Let's get off topic one more time. Why the fuck are 90 to 95-year-olds driving? Like, when are we going to hit the same shit with the president? Like, we got to hit a certain age limit. We're like, okay, buddy. All right, let's go ahead and get him back to the home. Get some milk and cookies for him, right? Like, it's completely ridiculous. Like, we've got to have an age restriction for the president and for driving. Like, literally, there's been so many times where I'm driving on the road and there's a grandma. So again, I'm a sweet boy. And if it's a grandma, obviously I'm not going to be like, fuck you, granny, right? Like, I'm not going to say that, right? I'm just going to be like, okay, she's an older lady. And again, we've got to be gentle with grandmas and grandpas because we'll be there one day. But like, they just shouldn't be driving. Like, it's just, they'll do shit that, first of all, they'll just drive slow as fuck. And then second, they just, their vision's not the best. So they just don't even give up. Like, they don't know when it's their time at the stoplight or when it's their time to fucking go at a stop sign. Like, it's just, it's like they're in their own world. I've seen it a bunch of times, but again, we give them grace. However, a grandma with full self-driving mode, oh my God, imagine that. Like, imagine that. It's beautiful. Like, it's beautiful. Everybody on the road's happier. Grandma could just chill. She can knit a little fucking blanket, and everybody on the road is safer. And she's safe. Fucking everybody else is safe, too. It's a win-win. But anyway, so that's why I think the full self-driving mode, I think it is 100% safer. Like, it just is what it is. So I believe that we're going towards that 100%. So, all that to say for this is Elon Musk. He put this out 8 years ago for Tesla. He said, sharing, when true self-driving is approved by regulators, it will mean that you will be able to summon your Tesla from pretty much anywhere. Once it picks you up, you'll be able to sleep, read, or do anything else en route to your destination. You'll also be able to add your car to the Tesla shared fleet just by tapping a button on the Tesla phone app and have it generate income for you while you're at work or on vacation, significantly offsetting and at times potentially exceeding the monthly loan or lease cost. This dramatically lowers the true cost of ownership to the point where almost anyone could own a Tesla. Since most cars are only in use by their owner for 5 to 10% of the day, the fundamental economic utility of a true self-driving car is likely to be several times that of a car which is not. So, that shit is fucking interesting. Like, think about that. And it's very true. The average person drives their car 5 to 10% of the day. Only 5 to 10% of the day, right? So while me, Jared, I'm out working, right? If I'm at work 9 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, my Tesla can be driving around picking up other people and dropping them off at their location, making money for me. But Jared, what if somebody... Okay, this is the thing, because these natural questions go, well, Jared, what if someone decides they want to jack the Tesla and they want to fucking drive into... There's going to be protocols. There has to be protocols. If someone jumps in that driver's seat, someone tries to touch that steering wheel, the car immediately shuts off and the ride's done, right? There has to be protocols like that. Is that the protocol now? I have no fucking clue. But you can imagine there's going to be protocols like that for shit and scenarios like that. However, that's just, it's just the idea, even the idea. That's what I'm saying. Elon Musk is fucking giga brain. He's giga brain. Like, say what you want about the guy. The guy is a fucking giga brain genius. He's just like, it's just insane. But even just saying that to most people, it's kind of like, oh, cool. That would be cool. But I'm telling you, this is 100% around the corner. Like, one thing I've noticed about Elon Musk is he'll say some shit a little early, but it's always right around the corner. And sometimes it just comes fast as fuck. And it's just like, oh, shit. Anyway, that's just crazy. Again, you're sleeping, right? And your fucking Tesla is just out making money for you, out giving rides, doing whatever. Let's say you pull into the airport, right? And sometimes you need a buddy or Uber to pick you up from the airport. Fuck that. I'll just ring my Tesla, right? So if I fly in from wherever I'm at to the Austin ATX airport and I don't have a ride, I hit the button on my phone, beep, and my fucking Tesla reverses out of the driveway, fucking comes and picks me up, and that's it. It drives all the way here with nobody in the car. And this is not, like, profound or anything. Literally, I've been walking down the street of Austin, driving too, and there's already cars, not Teslas, there's already cars. So again, you can imagine all the other manufacturers. That was another fascinating fact about just auto car manufacturers. There's only two companies in the USA that have not, there's only two auto manufacturers in the USA that have not gone bankrupt. First being Ford, second being Tesla. That's interesting, right? So I heard Elon Musk say, like, yeah, it's completely idiotic to try to go and start manufacturing cars. Like, to try to start a car brand, it's completely idiotic. It's even more stupid to try to go and start an electric car manufacturing brand, right? So, again, whether you like Teslas or not, like, it's Elon Musk is a fucking giga brain. Like, the dude is a complete genius. Like, it's just insane, all this shit. So I thought that was interesting. I was like, I gotta talk about this. And all that shit is intertwined. Like, Elon Musk is a complete degen when it comes to crypto too. Like, 100%. Like, he talks about Doge, Tesla accepting Dogecoin, like a little shit coin. Like, anyway, all this shit is just correlated. It's just interesting, but it is what it is. This is the world that we live in. And it's just fascinating shit to me. It literally, this shit blows my mind. Every time I see new developments, fucking crypto, AI, fucking whatever the fuck it is, shit's always fascinating. That is the end of today's episode. Hope it wasn't everywhere, but I know it was. So if you want to reach me on Instagram, remember, don't. If you want to reach me on Twitter, it's TheJarrod. And if you want to leave a voice message, the link is in the show notes below. Alternatively, my email is down there. Please reach out to me on email. Let me know what you're working on. What are you excited about? Like, just let me know. Like, what's on the horizon for you? What projects, NFTs, AI, crypto, music, cannabis, whatever you're into, please reach out. Let's connect. Even if you're across the world, I don't give a shit. I'll FaceTime people. I'll get on Zooms with people across the world, see what they're talking about. Everything. It's all just fascinating. It's all just interesting shit to me. So please do not hesitate to reach out. That is the end of today's episode. If you enjoyed this episode, gotta add this in there. If only if you enjoyed it, please share it with someone that you think would like this. Like, who's it? Do you have any friends, family, grandma, grandpa? Like, do they fuck with this shit? Like, do they like AI, fucking crypto, like any of this shit? Please share it with them. Only if you enjoyed it. You don't want to send them a shitty podcast. Come on. So that is actually the end of today's episode. From all around the world, I will see you on the next one. Peace. I'm a 90s baby. Lately, I've been going crazy. I've been going crazy, crazy. Yeah, I've been going crazy, crazy. Yeah, yeah. I've been getting paper. Made a hole in without a motherfucking major label. Yeah, they like clock, you major. I just set a new set of foes on a new Mercedes. Bitch trying to have my.